Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
Well, thank God for his resurrection. Can you say with me again from your house, say, he is risen. I can hear it. Declare it. He has risen. Now what I want to do is I want to go to God's word. So I'm going to ask if you are able in your households to stand out of respect for God's word. You're welcome to go to Matthew chapter 4 if you have your Bibles available. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read verses 18 to 22. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. And we are going to start with the first disciples declared in Matthew 4. Hear the word of the Lord. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Verse 19, Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. Verse 21, a little farther up the shore, he saw two brothers, James and John, sitting in the boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat in your homes there. If I were to entitle today's message, I would entitle today's message, "The Day That Changed Everything." That's right. The Day That Changed Everything. Today, like I've already said, all around the world, we are meeting in a unique situation. We're not gathering in our church buildings, but we're gathering in our homes. Billions of people are acknowledging and celebrating this one event, that Jesus Christ from Nazareth was raised from the dead. And that has made all the difference in the world. Each year at this time, people will argue about this event. Does Jesus actually have the authority because of his resurrection? You need to know that all of Jesus' words are tied upon this truth of his resurrection. Even in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul clearly said, if in fact Jesus has not raised from the dead, that we are to be pitied more than all men, because the fact of the matter is, our faith is futile if this is not true. Christianity is a big hoax, but we know that Jesus was gone from the tomb and death was defeated. Here's what I want you to realize today on this Resurrection Sunday. We talked many times before that it's Friday, but Sunday is a coming. What I want you to know today in your homes, that Sunday has arrived. Sunday is here. It is time, church, that you and I begin to live as though this were true. Let's not say Sunday's coming. Let's make the declaration in our lives, how we live and how we go through each and every day, that in fact, Sunday has arrived. Here's what we know. For many of us, as you can see, we live with what we call chains. And these chains are involved in each of our lives. And I'm here to tell you that because of the resurrection of Jesus, gone are the chains of our past sin. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, gone are the past shame of my past. I want you to know, because of the resurrection, gone are the chains that held me down. We need to know today, it is finished. It is done. And we no longer have to live like this any longer. It is time to allow those things to drop and to see the reality of this. Many believe that we are crazy, that we would base our faith in our life on a first century individual. But we take his teaching and his life literally. We believe today that he did die and rise from the dead, and he conquered death, which gave us victory over chains. There have been theory after theory to try to disprove this fact. We know that Islam itself has made this theory that it, in fact, it was not Jesus on the cross. And Muhammad himself made this declaration centuries after Jesus. There are those who declare that Jesus wasn't dead on the cross. He only was unconscious. Think about that for a second. Not dead, only unconscious. Six trials, no sleep, brutal scourging, thorns thrust into his head and into his nails, into his hands and his feet, a spear thrust into his side, and several hours on the cross. He just fainted, was wrapped in clothing, and then thrown into a tomb with a stone and a guard in front of it. He somehow regains consciousness, unwraps himself, throws away the stone, somehow gets by the guard, and declares he's alive. There are those who have declared that it's the wrong tomb theory, that the ladies in their craziness and in their hysteria actually went to the wrong tomb. That's a difficult theory to prove, because if in fact the movement of Christ followers, and they did go to the wrong tomb, the Roman authorities would clearly have produced a body. Some would say that Jesus did not rise from the dead, and the reality is the disciples stole the body. Think about that one for a moment. Several days earlier, these disciples, who were so timid that they scattered in fear, somehow a couple days later conjured up this courage to go and confront a Roman soldier, move the stone, and steal the body. Just seems far-fetched, to say the least. And lastly, people will say that the disciples were delusional, that the fact of the matter, they just in their heads believe that Jesus rose from the dead. The problem again with that, if you're only talking about 12, I get it. But you need to realize that literally hundreds saw Jesus after his resurrection, and all of their stories remained the same, and they never diverted from it. What we need to understand is no one would die for a lie. We need to understand that he rose from the dead. Therefore, we must respond to his word. And we need to realize that when we look at this passage that I gave you today in Matthew 4, is that if in fact Jesus rose from the dead and our chains have been destroyed, now we must respond to the call of God upon us. He's calling us today. He's initiating with us today. He's always been chasing after us. Even when we didn't want him, even when we didn't want him in our space, he was always coming after us, chasing us down, knowing that he loved us that much. I encourage you, if you can, to pull electronically out my notes, and I would want to share a few thoughts about his call from Matthew 4 as a result of his resurrection. The first thing that I would say to you today about God's call is simple. God's call is constant. God's call is constant. Would you repeat after me, and would you click your little heart button as an amen? As you repeat after me, say, I'm listening, Lord. Say it again. I am listening, Lord. That's what we need to understand. He said in verse 19 of chapter 4 of Matthew, come, follow me. He said in verse 21, Jesus calling them all. What you need to understand in his consistent call, he's always been calling. God himself was calling before Jesus, and he's been calling since Jesus' resurrection. He initiates with us continually. Are you listening? For he is calling. The question is, how does he call? He calls in a variety of ways. First, he calls us through people. I remember when I was an early Christian in my faith, and I was in the country of Honduras, and I was 17 years old, and I was seeking out Jesus, trying to love him. And as I was in Honduras, there was this old Honduran lady, and I was in the middle of a worship service, and she came up to me, and she began to prophesy into my life. And through a translator, they translated, she said, I sense and believe God's call is on your life. As a young 17-year-old, I took what she said literally, but I did not know what that meant. That was the first time that God's call in my life was through a person. He also calls us through prayer and through his word. This is the anchor. All of God's calling on us must line up with this every moment of every day. He also calls us through worship. As we gather together with our families and in churches, he speaks and calls us. in my own life. After that Honduras experience, I was with my youth group in probably 1983. We were in southern Indiana for a retreat. And after an incredible worship experience, I went out into the woods to worship God by myself. And it was a cool, brisk fall evening. And I remember being out in the woods and I was worshiping God. And I yet again asked him about his call on my life. It was as though it were yesterday. And as I was in the woods in that moment, the presence of God fell upon me in such a powerful way. I literally fell down on a knee in the power and the presence of God. I couldn't even whisper a word out other than Jesus. And it was so powerful in that moment. His call was so constant in my life that all I sensed from his spirit was this: Mick, you're too young to know. Love me today. Say yes to me today. And I will show you about tomorrow. For surely you're going to change the world. Wow, that was huge for me. God does have this call upon all of us. And he uses people. He uses worship. He uses his word in prayer. And he even uses circumstances, even the ones we don't like. I'm here to tell you, in the middle of the stay-at-home mandate, in the middle of the coronavirus epidemic, the pandemic, he is calling us. Are we listening? He is calling. Long before the call, you need to realize in the Old Testament, God was calling. He called Abram. He says, you will be a nation. And Abram had his excuse. His excuse was, I'm too old. Surely you can make a nation of somebody younger than me. He went to Moses. Moses, you will be my deliverer. His excuse, I can't speak. Can you have somebody else that doesn't stutter? Jonah, be my proclaimer. His call to Jonah was to be the proclaimer. His response, they'll never listen. Jeremiah, be my prophet. His excuse, I'm too young. Isaiah, be a truth teller. I am unclean. You see, many excuses. My question to you is, God's constant call comes out to you. What are your excuses? Maybe they're, I'm not religious. Maybe I don't know the Bible. Maybe I don't like people. Maybe I don't like the church and all the hypocrites who call themselves Christian. Maybe it's because I'm just too wrapped up in sin. What you need to realize in Matthew chapter 4, the fishermen, they responded without an excuse. It says in verse 20, at once they left. No excuse. Verse 22, immediately they left. No excuse. He called the fishermen. He did not call the professionals. He called the ordinary. And we must respond to his call. When I went through that experience in the woods, I said to God, I will go where you have me go. I will serve where you have me serve, whatever that looks like. Maybe you feel that your life is too muddy. I'm here to tell you that God's in the business of cleaning us up. It's never too late. And you need to realize that gone are the chains. Gone are the chains. Gone are the chains of your shame. He's calling you today, and he's calling us this moment. What is your response going to be? The key point is simple. He has risen. Would you say it with me again? Say, he's risen. He is risen, and he is calling us to follow him with our entire life. Let me give you the second part of his calling. That is this. God's call has a purpose. God's call has a purpose. Would you hit your little heart things on your scroll to say to me, I believe in God's call. Would you repeat after me in your house? Say, I will align with you, Lord. Say it again. I will align with you, Lord. What you need to realize is that God's just not calling you. He's calling you for a purpose. And in that purpose, he said in verse 19, he said, you are fishermen, but I'm going to make you fisher of men. In other words, what he was saying to them, and he's saying to you and I today, yes, I have risen from the dead, and yes, I can save you, but it's not the end. It's not just saving you. It's giving you a purpose that your life can change the world. I'm reminded in this story when Jesus is talking to them, and I can imagine him with Peter. And I imagine him and Peter kind of having this dialogue, which we don't have in Scripture, by the way. And as he's talking about new nets and fishing for men, that he's looking at Peter and he's saying this, Peter, are you ready? We're going to change the world. I believe that same call's coming to you and I today with a purpose. We're going to change the world right in the middle of a crisis. The church is going to get it right. The church is going to make the main thing be the main thing. We're not going to fight with one another any longer. We're not going to be petty over the things that we are so uptight about. But we're going to know him with everything we've got, and we're going to make him known with everything we've got today. We need to understand. Do you think that they fully understood this call? I doubt it. But as you say yes, it becomes more apparent. The reality is when we start to do this, John 10:10 becomes a reality. He said that I have come that you would have life to its full. He wants them to experience the fullness of life. And it comes when we say yes to him, his call, and he starts to show us our purpose. Let me take you back to those biblical characters. Abraham, his faith is built. He first said his excuse was, I'm too old. But after he got through with his excuses, his faith was built and he had a child in old age. His purpose was becoming a reality. Moses, whose excuse was, I am a man that stutters, became the greatest leader of all time. He was even a murderer. Jeremiah, who was somebody who was a credible leader as a youth, and he understood finally that in his mother's womb he was called. And even Isaiah, who declared that even though he had unclean lips, he was able to be a speaker that would challenge lives forever. And lastly, Jonah himself. Jonah, in his own disobedience, God used in this time. You need to understand that we will know God's call and his purpose, but it all begins in our obedience. Let me illustrate this two ways to you. When I was in high school, shortly after I came to know Jesus, I didn't know anything in the Bible. I didn't know how to share my faith, but all I knew is that God did something in my life, and I wanted my friends to know about it. Why am I talking about my high school days? Because there was a moment, many moments, but one of the main moments was I invited a guy named Jay Teagle to church. He was our star basketball player. And if you know anything about Marion, Indiana, we eat and we breathe basketball. At least we did in the 80s when I was there. And we were headed to the state championship. Jay was one of our star players. He received Christ that day that I invited him to church. And as we were headed to Market Square Arena, downtown Indianapolis, as seemed like the entire city going down to root on our mighty Marion Giants, it was in that moment that Jay Teagle called me and said, you need to pray. I said, about what? That they print everything. I said, what are you talking about? He said, they came and they interviewed me about why my life had changed and why I was able to play ball so well without so much stress. And I prayed. And that morning, as we were all headed to Indianapolis, not on the front of the sports page, but on the front of the Marion Chronicle Tribune, the title reads, Teagle has God in life, has a full photo of him on his porch with his Bible in his lap with a half-page article about his testimony. I had no influence in that city, but Jay Teagle did. But my steps of obedience were critical in my future and in the impact in that city. Because what does Jay Teagle and Tahir from Central Asia have in common? Tahir was somebody that I shared Jesus with. And he came to know Christ through a dream and a vision. Jesus came to him. I discipled him for many years, and he actually died of cancer. What I'm trying to tell you is this. In my purpose and my call, if I had not said yes as a teenager to a Jay Teagle, I wouldn't have had the capacity or the ability to say yes to the ability to serve in Central Asia and see a Tahir come to know Christ. Our yeses today, our obedience today, give us purpose for our tomorrow. And that's what we need to understand today as we look at this and know that God is calling us to this extent. And as you understand this, I want you to know today that as we say yes to him and his call, come back to the chains. Gone are the chains of hopelessness. You have purpose. You do. You have purpose. And that is incredibly important for us to understand. The key point is this. He is risen. Will you say it again with me? Say, He is risen. He is risen. So it is possible to know Him today and that He has a purpose for your life. He does. And He desires for you to come and follow Him. And the revelation will be amazing. Let me give you the third and final thought this morning concerning God's call on this Resurrection Sunday. And that is this. God's call will change everything. Now start pushing your button. May those hearts start flying through as you say amen. Would you repeat after me? Say, change me, Jesus. Say it again out there in your homes. Change me, Jesus. You see, the fishermen obviously agreed with Jesus in the call of their life. And they were given new nets. And they were willing to change the world. 12 men who were selfish, all to themselves, and cowards. Sound like a lot of us today in the church. All about themselves, how they could benefit. As they said yes, not only did they get purpose, but they were changed themselves as a result of this. You see, many of them, most of them, all but one, died a martyr's death. They must have truly believed this. They proclaimed this to the ends of the earth. How did this change these characters I've been telling you? Well, we know that Abraham, a nation was birthed as a result, and the blessing of God was to come. Moses, a nation, yes, was delivered. Jeremiah, a people did repent. Isaiah, many responded to his message. Jonah, an entire city, Nineveh, repented. Yes, God's call will change everything. Let me go back to my own life. Grew up in Marion, Indiana, as I declared. You need to understand, it's a great city. Some people make fun of it, but it's where I was born. And as I grew up in that small city, in that small western town in Indiana, my world was simply this, playing Little League and going to the B&K root beer stand. That was it. That was the glory of my days. I could not see beyond ever going and doing anything beyond that. But when the resurrection power of Jesus came and He started to change me, this young lad, all of a sudden the world came to my doorfront. And now I stand in front of you this many years later from Marion, Indiana to multiple countries in South and Central America, throughout Asia and Africa and Europe, South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, Azerbaijan, Detroit, and now here in Kentwood. I use that as a testimony to say that God can change anyone and everyone if we say yes. And the chains, regardless of what they look like in your life, can and will be dropped. God wants to change the world through you. But maybe this morning, you need a change today in your life. There are three types of people watching here today. The first type of person is somebody who loves Jesus, and you are in the middle of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. For those folks, I would say to you in your homes, start to pray right now. The second group of people, those of you who knew and have experienced the resurrection power, but for whatever reason, you have slid to the left or you slid to the right. And as a result, you haven't a fresh relationship with Jesus and you need a recommitment. And the third group of people here today, listening from the homes, those of you who are on a journey, you've brushed up against Jesus. You've heard about Jesus. You've attended church. You have been involved, engaged with religion, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You don't know that if today you were to die, whether or not you would go to heaven. Here's what I want to say to you. If you need a recommitment and or you need to say yes to Jesus for the first time, here's what we need to acknowledge. First and foremost is those chains that I just showed you. We need to say, I need help. We need to come to the point where we say, I've messed up. You need to come to the point where we would say, God, please forgive me. And the Bible tells us He will. Then we need to, once those chains fall, we need to turn away from them and turn towards God through Jesus and start to follow Him. And then from there, we must believe that He is the Son of God. That in the middle of the crisis that we experience in our own lives, Maybe you're at the end of your rope. Maybe the chains are so tiring to you that you need to realize, now I need to believe that he is the Son of God. And the Bible says, lastly, that you need to receive him. You need to invite him into your life. In other words, God is a gentleman. He will not force himself into your life. He's waiting. The Bible says he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. Whoever opens up, he will come in and have relationship with you. You will experience why you were created. So here's what I want to do. We have just a couple of moments left. And I want all of you who are watching me live to consider and to pray about where you're at. And if in fact you need to recommit your heart to Jesus for whatever reason that's happened in your life, now is your moment. If you need to say yes to Jesus for the very first time, I mean, know him personally. Know why you were created. This spiritual journey, you're not just flesh and blood. You're not just some DNA that popped out of nowhere. You were fearlessly and wonderfully made by the Creator with a purpose. And his voice is calling you today. He's calling you. He loves you. He does. Whether you decide not to love him, whether you decide not to believe in him, whether you just say what I'm saying, it doesn't make any sense or not, that will not change the fact that he loves you. This resurrection that we've talked about all morning long is specifically for you and your life. And maybe in this moment in your home, you would never do this. You would never do this in an auditorium. But in the privacy of your home, you can say yes to him. I'm going to sit down here. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you in your home to kneel yet again with me if you're able. Whether you're in love with Jesus, whether you need to recommit your life to Jesus, or whether you need Jesus for the first time. And then what I want you to do is I want you to repeat a simple prayer after me. Let me tell you this. The prayer is not magic. Simply by repeating this prayer after me will not save your life. What is important is whether or not you believe it in your heart. So I want to pray with you. I want to recommit my own heart to him. I love Jesus. I do. I love him. But I want to recommit my heart. So I'm asking all who are watching me, go ahead and kneel. Would you repeat this prayer with me as we ask Jesus to become fresh and new in our lives, whether it's for the first time or recommitment or simply restating our love for him. Would you bow your heads with me and repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I am sorry. I'm sorry for all that I've done. Please forgive me. And I pray that you would break my chains and may they be gone. I turn away from them and I turn to you. I do believe you are the Son of God. Will you help me with my belief? Will you help me with my doubt? Will you prove yourself to me today? I personally surrender. I invite you into my life on this day, on this April day. I invite you into my life and I acknowledge you are now Lord of my life. I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you have prayed that prayer for the very first time, see, the candle was lit for a 95-year-old. And this morning, the candle will stay lit for you. For the Bible says this, that there was a celebration in heaven. And heaven began to celebrate your decision. And the Bible also tells us that there's a book of life and your name was written that moment in that book. And it's for you. And here's what I would like for you to do for me. Is if you've made that decision for the very first time, would you on your computer or on your screen, whatever you're looking at, would you just simply write, I said yes to Jesus. Could you do that for us? Say, I said yes to Jesus, if you did it for the first time. And if you said this prayer and meant it, and it was a recommitment, just say in that scroll, I recommitted my life to Jesus today. I recommitted my life to Jesus. And if you're the third person, would you just in that scroll with a heart declare, say, I love Jesus today. One of those three. I love Jesus. I recommitted my heart to Jesus. Or I said yes to Jesus. We want to celebrate with you virtually, even though I would love to hug you today and celebrate with you today, knowing that this is why Jesus rose from the dead. And this is why these things called chains are gone. Because we have the capacity to know that he is risen indeed. The key point today is he is risen. So life can become meaningful. And you will understand clearly the way and the why of life. I encourage you today to obey his call in the small things. Because one J. Teagle will lead to a Tahir. And begin to serve him in all areas of your life. And ask him how you may change the world today. How you may change the world today. Wow. I believe in my heart that God's done some really cool things today throughout all the homes that have been watching and will watch throughout the day. The resurrection power of Jesus is definitely alive and well. And we celebrate that. Here's how I want to close. I'm going to say a prayer for you. And all the person I have left is Pastor Brant, lone man standing. He's going to lead us in an old hymn that's become contemporary in its wording. It's Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And I encourage you to sing along with him as he leads us. But let me say a prayer for you before he leads, and then I'll come back up and close us on this Easter Sunday. Lord, I pray today that you would truly, truly bless those who have made a decision for you today. Whether it was for the first time or whether it was a recommitment or simply reaffirming their love for you, seal the deal in their lives. And I commit them to you, trusting you for that. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your resurrection power. Thank you for the ability to know that our chains are gone. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. And all God's people said, amen.